Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On this episode of Feel Good Habits, I'm delighted to say that Dr. Sandra Lee, aka Dr. Pimple Popper, is back. She makes a return to the show to share her Feel Good Habits, but it's also very exciting because today, the day that you were listening to this, if you listen to it when it goes live, is the day that her skincare line launches in the UK, which is incredibly exciting. We caught up on a Zoom, we started gabbing away, as you'll be able to hear, as soon as possible. So I'm easing us into this mid-flow because we started at 100 miles an hour, and as you'll hear, we didn't stop. I hope you enjoy it. Here's Sandra Lee, Dr. Sandra Lee, making her return to the show.
But it was a while ago, wasn't it?
It was a while. Do you know what I was thinking about? I think it's between 18 months and 2 years. It feels like
it was because it was BC, before COVID, so...
Right.
Yeah, it's like a whole different world, yes.
But we spoke then about the skincare line. And one of the things at the time was that I have amazing listeners in the US where it's available, but it wasn't available in the UK yet. But that's finally happened.
Yes, I know, how exciting. I've come there because I'm coming closer to you. I'm trying to get there closer to you.
That would be, we've talked about this last time. We're going to get together, you,
yes.
Me, Caroline, oh, yeah. Some other friends.
Only COVID is keeping us away for just a little longer, but we will be.
But as soon as we can. So yeah. You're going to share your 5 feel-good habits.
Okay, yes.
And I'm excited to hear what these are, because I think you must have to channel sort of being in a good mood, because you're the position that you're in. Bear with me with this one.
Yeah.
Doctor, people coming to you with issues, their mood might be low. And I think sometimes it might be on you to bolster them. So I'm very interested to hear what your feel-good habits are. So where are we starting? What's number one?
Well, that is part of my healthy habits, actually. So I would say certainly, and I don't always get this, but number one is certainly, I think with all of us, we know this, get a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to have a little more insomnia. I try not to keep my phone near me, but it's very hard not to do that. And being a mother, a mom, I feel like it also makes you have a tough time to get a restful sleep, but you feel so much better in the morning. I'm sure we all feel that. So that, and it keeps you looking younger. So many makes you feel healthier, eat healthier, everything. So that's the key, right? Are these the kind of things you're looking for an answer? Like this sort of thing, right?
100%. So okay. Do you have a sleep schedule? So do you have a routine at night to make sure that
Sure. You're
going to get that sleep?
Yes, I do have a routine. I don't know if I don't have a wind down sort of period. I just think that, you know, that's my only time to sort of relax in my bed and watch like a TV show that doesn't require a lot of thinking and has nothing to do with pimple popping. And, you know, we just reconvening with my husband and my kids and just trying to just unplug, really, is what it is.
Well,
so that's it.
This leads me on to an obvious question. What's your kind of mindless TV? What's the stuff that you love to watch?
It's a little different than my husband, which actually makes it tough, but sometimes I don't mind because then he can go watch basketball in the next room and then I can watch my own show. I probably watch a lot of reality TV. I watch like, Real Housewives. I used to be more watching, I used to watch more of YouTube. Like I used to like to watch mukbangs. Like I go into phases, you know? I don't even know. Yeah, I watch mukbangs, but I don't have it with the sound, which is so weird, I think, for people. Because normally I would be, I got accustomed to that because I watch him with my husband next door and he would certainly be like, what the heck are you listening to, you know? But I love like watching people build things too, because I'm really jealous of people that have the time to learn how to, I do a lot of things with my hands, but I love to do a lot of, I would love to make, you know, furniture or like build something. Like there's primitive technology. I don't know if you've heard of that before, where he made things out of in the wilderness in Australia from nothing. Like he would build houses. Like he would take the mud and mix it with water and make clay to put the brick on the houses. It's like starting from nothing. I mean, like make the tools to make these, to make the, you know, this, to make things out of water and mud to make the houses, like just everything. So anyway, I could go down a big rabbit hole with all of these things. So yeah, I like things that showcase how amazing people are. And I don't know, the things that we could do and the feats that we have and things that are different and interesting. I just like learning about people. And that's probably one of the things that it makes me enjoy my specialty, is the fact that you get to talk to really strangers and like learn something about people and about that person and about life. Like it teaches you lessons. So yeah, so good night's sleep. And next is a nice cup of coffee in the morning, like a lovely cup of coffee that just warms your heart and your esophagus and your tummy. And so that always puts me in a good mood and gives me a little bit of energy.
Can I ask you a question about that? Do you talk to your first sip of coffee? Because I've realized that's something that I've grown to do.
What do you mean? What do you say? Do you tell them about your night before?
No, I'll just take that first sip of my oat milk latte and I'll be like, oh, hot damn, that's good. Or you're gonna hit the spot. I realize that I'm building this actual
kind of maybe I should a relationship as you swallow it, like as you get rid of it. I'm just sad that my coffee's all gone right now. But I've been starting to put a lot of I haven't really been into a lot of the you know, the MCT oil or collagen powder, but I've just started like the last couple of days and, you know, all this different kind of flavorings in my coffee to see if it could be like even give me more energy or more just happiness. And so I'm starting to like fiddle with that and let's see how that goes. Do you do anything like that?
I have started to do bulletproof coffee, but I do it with it. I don't do it with butter. So okay. I just do.
Oh, I didn't know you could do. I need this recipe. Bulletproof coffee. I'm going to look that up now. Too.
Bulletproof coffee. But basically, it's a fatty coffee. So it's just an espresso shot with a tablespoon of MCT oil and a pinch of salt. And that is actually quite pleasing.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah. So this is what I'm fiddling with. So I'm trying to bring up my coffee game there. I don't drink. Well, I would say I didn't know that I still don't even realize that I think I need coffee until I don't have it. And then I get a headache, but I'm like in denial. So I'm like, I'm not a coffee addict, but then I realize if I don't have it. Yeah. I do notice I get cranky. So it helps me with my, you know, feeling good kind of thing.
Are you particular about the coffee that you have, or are you just like, I don't care?
No, I am not that particular is what I'm saying, like about the type of coffee, but I will tell you when it's a good cup of coffee, I do appreciate it. And when it's a bad cup, I do recognize that and I don't drink it, but I don't know. I haven't been, I just will take whatever people give me, or I probably have, you know, I like things that are sweet, certainly, you know, if it tastes good and I can drink it, but I am not a coffee connoisseur, but I should be. And I feel like you may be, so I need to get some recommendations from you. No,
it's just as long as I can put,
there are coffee snobs out there, right?
100% in the same, and who enjoy coffee in the same way as someone might enjoy a really beautiful whiskey,
right?
I get that too, but I don't think I have a very sophisticated palate. I can't, like there's red wine, pink wine, and white wine. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm kind of basic.
Same. And you know, the funny thing is that my husband also loves, by the way, I oftentimes mistakenly talk about my husband and call him my dad, which is not a good thing because, you know, he tries to tell me what to do, I guess, or something. But he has a pretty good palate. Like, he's very picky about his food. He's very picky about wine. He knows a lot about these things. And I think it has a lot to do with, this is why I probably think too much about things. But I think it has a lot to do with people having a very good sense of smell. Because I think that has so much to do with being able to detect different tastes, different flavors and things. And my palate is not that sophisticated. So yes, I am more basic, and I will accept things, you know, and I will eat things even though they're not that good just because I'm hungry, you know, but he won't. So that's just very interesting to me.
Yeah. I've often wondered whether people's taste buds can be more acute or can be dialed up or dialed down. Like somebody, we've never heard that before, have we? So that person's got quite weak taste buds, so they might not taste food. So I'd be so fascinated to do that research. Yeah.
This is where this came from, actually. When I was in medical school, there was a kid in my class who was like, had a voracious appetite. He would eat so much food. It'd be amazing to watch him, you know, the kind where you're like, I'm just going to watch you eat. And I found out that he was in a car accident and he actually damaged a part of his brain that he didn't have any sense of smell. So you couldn't smell anything. So then I felt that he would have things with a lot of spice, because I think that he also couldn't taste, but he could feel the spiciness. Like, it would give him that feeling. So yeah, that was how he was feeling, like, satisfied, or that it tasted good to him, because it gave him a sensation, which I found fascinating. And then I was really devastated, because then I decided to do a little test on him. This is what I do to people. Well, I had like a regular tortilla chip and then a Dorito chip. Mm-hmm. And I said, I blindfolded him and I said, just take one and tell me if you know which is what, and he didn't know. And then I felt really bad. So that was just telling me, like, he had no discerning. He would eat whatever. And he was always so hungry, as opposed to my husband, who has very good sense of smell, and he's very picky eater. And he's rarely able to detect different tastes and things, you know? So I just find that fascinating, that it has so much to do with smell. Anyways,
yeah, we went off subject. No, I'm fascinated by that too. We'll pick that up when we see each other.
Yes. We'll have a little taste test, see who has a better sense of smell.
We'll bring our blindfolds and some mystery food.
Scary, but yes.
Okay, what's next?
Number three, of course, is take extra care of my skin. I don't have a lot of products. So I have a lot of products on my counter, because I get a lot of products to try. And certainly, you know, in my skincare line, trying different things. I'm really pretty basic in what I do, because I am both dry and sensitive. So I don't like to add new things, because I'm afraid of the reaction that I might have. And also, that I know that, I mean, if something is so amazing, it's really going to stick around for a long time, and then I can try it. You know, I don't like to be the first one out with a lot of different fancy things, because most of them don't work, really. They don't do what they say that they're going to do. So I just try to be nice to my skin. I thank my mom for my genetics, my good genes, and I wear my sunscreen and I put on a good moisturizer. I use a retinol, which is great. You know, that's in my SLMD skincare. I use salicylic acid to cleanse my face, but I really keep things very basic. And then I put my mask on and I'm off to work. So, you know, I just try to be as gentle to my skin and really, I guess, really appreciate it too. Know that, you know, I'm really lucky to have the skin that I have, and I just try to take as best care of it I can, as everybody does.
I think that's the thing that really took me by surprise, actually, for me in my job as a beauty writer, in that for years and years, you'd be getting all these new products and hearing about all these new innovations and this technology and these ingredients. Mm-hmm. And actually, the best results I've ever had with my skin is when I'm dialing it back and I just took it back to the very basic ingredients. And by basic, I mean basic as in just the fundamentals, the cornerstones. And actually, when you look at the inky list of SLMD, that's exactly what you're getting. It's just, it's not fuss, it's not nonsense. It's just the proven actives, the proven ingredients that are shown to work, whether it's to calm, whether it's to decongest, all of these things. It's just the stuff that has the data that shows it works.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing that and that's what it is. It's democratizing dermatology. It's really about me realizing through social media and through all this craziness that's happened to me, which is amazing and humbling, but also crazy, that there's so many people out there that don't know what to use on their skin, and they have questions, and they're asking me, they're looking to me for answers. So can I help them? Can I actually create something that can change a person's skin for the better across the pond, like on the other side of the world? That is so amazing that I have, and I don't take that lightly. You know, I took that responsibility very, that's a big deal. I don't want to let down my patients. And I feel like in a way they're my patients in a sense, you know, mm-hmm. and my specialty, you know, I'm putting out things there that we know work as dermatologists, that we've tried, that we understand why it works too. And that's part of it. It's part of me entertaining people with a pimple pop, but then really kind of, then they realize, oh, you know, that's what salicylic acid is for, you know, or, you know, that's what sulfur is for. Okay. Mm-hmm. Retinol is a great thing to use for multiple reasons. And so that also makes people seek out those things. And, you know, before I think people are going to the skincare counter and they're just getting whatever people tell them. They don't really know what it does. But now I think people are going and they know what these things do. Mm. And that actually helps them to take control of their skin. And then they actually feel proud that they were part of it, right? They actually were like, they figured it out themselves too. And I love that, you know, when you take credit for it and you take control of your own skin, you're going to feel so much prouder about it and just really feel like you did something instead of just taking whatever somebody else gives you.
100%. When I was a teenager, I had really bad acne, really bad congested hormonal acne. And I would not put on my face now the stuff that I did then, because I would know that it was the wrong thing to do.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, I think that the kids now are luckier in that sense that they are knowing that it's the right thing, what to do, you know, when they have whatever, you know, skin condition that they have.
Yeah, that's what you say. It's the democratization. It's the fact that we're so much more empowered now. There's so much more information out there, which is just wonderful. Right. Where are we next?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, and then I think what we were saying before, happiness, I realize this, and this is something that I learned from my father, actually, who's a dermatologist, a retired dermatologist. Happiness is contagious. You know, it is something like, and the way that I learned it, he didn't say this to me directly, but I remember one time, and in fact, I brought it up to him and he didn't even remember it. So this tells me, this is another thing that I keep in mind. There's so many things that I've learned actually from my father, from things that he's said and from my patients. But one of them is, I remember one time I was a teenager and he was driving me to school and it was raining outside. And I remember I was like, oh, it's raining out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Outside, you know, how depressing. And he kind of blew up on me a little. And he doesn't really blow up, but he was like, why are you talking about that it's raining outside? I mean, we can all see that. Why would you want to, you know, that's a negative thing to say. Like, why do you want to make us all realize that and focus on that? And then we all feel bad, you know? And I realized that that's very true. Like, we all know it's raining outside. There's no need to talk about that. Let's talk about the positive. So I tend to be in my room with my patients. If somebody has a broken ankle or something and they're wearing a cast, I say, well, at least your other leg works. You know, like I realize I'm an optimist and I think that it's contagious. You know, you're in there for just maybe even 5 minutes to see somebody and to really kind of brighten their day. It really can transfer through the rest of the day. You know, and I realize that the words that I say, I think a lot of us have these instances where you might see somebody you haven't seen in years, maybe since your high school, but they may have said something to you that you will always remember. Like you'll remember that person just because of what they said. And they may have said it in complete passing, just off the cuff. They don't ever remember that they've ever even said that. but it had such a profound impact on you because of the way it made you feel. And so I'm very careful, and I'm sure I make this mistake like we all do in a sense, but I think the key is to be recognizing that and realize that what you say can really mean nothing to you, very little to you, but can mean so much to somebody else. So I really try to keep things positive there. Always try to look on the bright side. And I think that helps me in life too. You know, I just think that that makes you, if you're happy at work, you're going to be happy later, you know, through your day too, as well. So, you know, I have those patients too who have these wonderful big personalities and smile and joke, and they make you feel good after you leave the room. So that's the same thing. I just want to do that for my patients and do that in life in general.
Well, you're absolutely right. Happiness is contagious and misery loves company. So the two, they both multiply whatever room they're in. And you're absolutely right about the weather thing. I blow up at my parents sometimes because they'll be the first to look outside the window and say, oh, it's a miserable day. And I'll say, no, it's not. It might be the greatest day ever. We might win the lottery or whatever. But
I'm going to call you dad. Yes. You're like my dad. Yes.
Because it is. It's that thing is, I don't know about you, but I always sort of, it's a sort of clunky way of saying it, but I think the universe is always listening. So if you say something like, it's a miserable day, you're putting it out there. So I don't want to say it's a miserable day. I want to say it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, you're a great example. You're the same thing. Like, we think positive and you just try to do the best that you can like that, because I agree. I believe a lot in karma and like just putting out good things. And in that way, it can come back to you in that way, you know, like you just want to be a good person. And that's really like my last thing is I really, all of this sort of thing happened to me really quickly and not what I expected, you know, having a skincare line that's now released in the UK, having a television show that's international, having patients fly in from around the world, which is insane to me, you know, to see me for pimple popping. I mean, like, what was going on here? So this has been really stressful, but also exciting and really hard to know what to do, because, you know, I know how to treat acne. I know how to treat warts or skin cancer, but do I know how to make decisions in this world? And so I just try to do everything with kindness. And that's the best that I can do. You just try to be put out good. Like, I think it's the same with you. You know, you just try to just encourage people and bring everybody up instead of bringing them down. And one of the most amazing things, like my favorite thing about what I do, or what has come of this, are the little kids, the girls and the boys who write me letters and draw me pictures because they love pimple popping, that they know what a lipoma is and what a milia is. I mean, that's crazy. They come to my office before the pandemic, during their birthday, that as a surprise, or that's what they asked to go to instead of Disneyland. And that is insane to me, but so it makes, that's like the payback for this. Like, I realize that, and I try to tell them, like, I know they want to do what I'm doing and I encourage that. I think that's spectacular, but also I always tell them, do everything you do with kindness. Like, just be, try to do, put out something positive there. And that's so key too in this world that we live in now, this crazy world. So
it's true. And I'm curious as well, when you have patients who come to see you, and I can only use my own experience of having acne as a teenager, but it made me present myself in a different way, and it made me quite defensive, and I would think that you were only seeing my spots. And so I guess, how do you cut through that, when even if someone's obviously a really nice person, they've got a skin issue, but they come and see you and maybe they've got their defenses up, or they seem like they're in a bad mood, or that they're not really wanting to be there. How do you have a method for cutting through that?
I mean it's part of being, the whole key to it really is just I don't talk down to people. I'm coming in there as their friend, like as a family member, as a friend, and you're just talking to them real. Like, I'm going to tell them straight up. Like, and I get it. And I think they understand that I get it, that this isn't threatening your life, but I get that it's affecting your ability to interact in the world. And what can we do to make this better? And so those are all the things that we talk about, you know, and I just talk about them like I'm talking to you, you know, like this is We are friends. We are trying to figure this out together. And let me, I have some information. I have things that I think can help you. And let's work together and see if we can't improve the situation here. Because I get it. Acne does not threaten your life, but it definitely can threaten your emotional stability. Mm-hmm. It can threaten, especially when you're teenagers, it can affect the way that your personality develops, how you interact with people, how you interact with the world in such a vital, like growing part of your life. So I don't say that to the patient because they don't necessarily get that necessarily, but like that's what I understand. And I'm using that understanding to just know that we're working together here for this and that I'm on their side. I have their back as much as I can. That's the whole key to it. And that's the whole key to being, I think, at any specialty in medicine or even in other worlds is to make sure that people know that you have a, make sure you have a connection with them and that you are doing this as a, you know, a friend and that as some, cause that's someone that you're going to trust. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it comes, what, you know, where it comes from. And that comes from my dad, really. He was a great dermatologist. And that's probably why I have this kind of bedside manner is because everybody in the beginning, when I would meet them, they all knew my dad, cause he was primarily their dermatologist. And they would always start with, I know your father and I love your father. Like, so I'll be like, okay, I got to make sure that you like me too. You know, certainly don't want to get him back to my dad that I was not nice to you, you know, not as nice to you. So.
Do you know what's lovely as well is that I can really tell, and we've only ever done this via the computer, but I can really tell that if I came into your clinic, if I came into your practice, it would be exactly the same with me. It would be very relaxed. We'd be talking about the Real Housewives within 5 minutes. Yeah. And you can feel it would be very, because of your stratospheric rise with Dr. Pimple Popper and everything like this, I'm sure people would have come to you and said, hey, can we put your name on these products? But actually you can really tell that the products have been made to have your back right. In your bathroom in the way that you have people's back in your clinic, which is so
yeah. Nice. Oh, I like that. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's been really important to me in everything that I do to make sure that it comes from the heart. Like it's not fake. It's not like me selling something to, I don't do that. I don't do that in my practice. I don't do that in, and I think a lot of my patients say this all the time. They come to see me, especially like cosmetic patients, because that's also a sensitive kind of area. They say, I really love what you do because I can tell I don't care about when it comes down to that kind of thing, certainly about the money, about upselling a product. I just want the best potential, you know, outcome for them. If it's something that I don't do, like I will tell them to go somewhere else. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just going to give them like one of the hardest questions for me to answer. And I don't answer it is when somebody has a cosmetic thing and they come to me and they just say, just look at me and tell me what you want me to do. I would never. That's a big, and I think a lot of doctors don't actually realize that. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily know that. Maybe younger doctors too, because to me, that's the hardest question I never, because you know, how crushing would that be if I said, oh, you know, you could use an eye lift or something. And that is your favorite feature of your, yeah. Of your body, you know, like of your face. I mean, that's crushing. You can't do that kind of thing. I'm more like, I don't like that. I'd rather you tell me what you don't like about your skin or what specific things you may dislike. And let me tell you if there's something that I can do or something somebody can do to improve that and kind of explain it in that way.
Mm, so true. I once had a conversation with a plastic surgeon. This is about 10 years ago. And I said something like, oh, I've often wondered whether I should get a nose job. And he said, how old are you? And I think at the time, yeah, 33, he said, if you really wanted it, you would have done it by now. That was the end of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you have to be really sensitive with how you answer those questions when someone says, well, should I get my nose done?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a technique. There's certainly not a technique. It's just a way that you learn because, you know, you don't, again, it comes down to, I don't want somebody leaving my office feeling bad about themselves. You know, this is an opportunity to uplift people in any minor way that you can. It really helps, you know, our mindset in the world. So, you know, you want to be encouraging with people. And that can be tough too sometimes because it's such a, dermatology is just as much psychiatry as it is dermatology.
It's true. Well, I'm sure listeners have realized that you are a feel-good habit all on your own. You are just, you're sunshine.
That, I bet my husband wouldn't say that, but okay.
Well, he can listen to this and then he can agree along. Just Maybe. Tell him not to leave a negative review. It's always so nice to speak to you, and I genuinely can't wait until we can do this.
I know. What is going on over there, actually? Is it like it's pretty locked down? I feel like I don't really hear the news unless you talk to somebody specifically how it is.
We're very close to the projected like lifting of restrictions, but there's a lot of caution, which is appropriate.
I think we're just a little bit ahead. I feel like people are saying now you don't have to wear, about to say you don't have to wear a mask in a lot of settings. Already you don't have to wear it. They've already said like outdoors might be the same with you guys.
Yeah.
I feel like it's interesting because, again, I don't know if it's very political where you are. Is it just also political? It's so political.
Not in the same way that it is over in the US.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's crazy. So you'll go to different parts of my state and there's some that are more politically leaning on one side versus another. And you'll see a big difference in the way people wear masks and things like that. So it's ridiculous.
We've just had a bank holiday weekend. So just like you guys had Memorial Day, we had a 3-day weekend. And I think they're looking to see what the figures do, because obviously, and the weather here, the reason why so hot here at the moment. So it's, everyone was out. So we shall see what happens, and we'll see if the 21st is when they actually lift things.
Okay.
But
we'll be closer to traveling there. So that will be so nice. I would love that.
I genuinely can't wait. It'll be so lovely. Yeah. So I will be putting the links to you and the products in the show notes.
Thank you.
Always so nice to speak to you.
Yes, I cannot wait to give you a big hug in person. It'll be so nice. We'll have to go out and do something there. Please show me around. And because we're going to I'm sure we're planning something. I think hopefully in autumn. You know, in the fall, we'll be able to come out there. And because of this line, I mean, we just launched it, and I want to be able to be there and talk to everybody. And just, it would be very cool to do that. Cause I have not been to the UK since Dr. Pimple Popper really started. So it'll be interesting to see.
It needs to happen. As soon as you know, let me know, and I'll get a gaggle of the beauty girls together, and we'll plan a dinner.
Yes. And let's go leave some products over at the castle too. Because I know there's got to be a Popaholic there somewhere. So
in the palace.
Yes, the palace.
Who would you put your money on? Who's a Popaholic in the palace?
Yeah. I know we should. I bet you. I'm sure there's got to be somebody.
There has to be.
I think the queen would probably be. She's seen them things in the world. I'm sure she's not fazed by pimple popping.
And she's practical. Someone's got a zit or something. She's going to be like, let's handle it. Let's deal with it.
That's right.
I love it. So nice to see you. Have a lovely day, my friend.
Take care. I'll see you in person next time.
Bye.